Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that you have provided. Father, I am not worthy to stand here, and the word that you have given me, I am not worthy of preaching, but it's only your grace, O Lord. Father, you have made the wretched, Father, a holy person. It is only because you have made him righteous only because of your grace, Lord. Father, I thank you, Father, for everything that you have been doing in my life. I was pulled out from total darkness, and you brought me here. I am not worthy, Lord. I am not worthy to use any of your word, because that was totally alien unto me. But you made it possible, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you have made me worthy. And Father, you have asked me to call you Father through your Son Jesus Christ. That is a big privilege, Lord. I consider that as a very big privilege. When no one addressed me, no one valued me, you valued me, Lord. You gave me value, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I pray that you speak. It is not my word. Let each and every one, Lord, Father, be blessed by your word, not my word. In Jesus' name we pray. I thank God for this opportunity that God has given as I prayed. We will be looking at a message today. It is those who are well have no need of a physician, but only for those who are sick. This is the name that God has given, so I put it very clearly. This was given probably 6 months back, but this message was pending. But in the last 3 days, God has changed the whole focus of the message, that God made it confirm that this is the message. So this is about the Samaritan story, the Good Samaritan story. But that we will be coming first. We will be looking at the preamble of that story. That starts from Luke chapter 10, from 17 to 20. In 17 to 20, we see that the disciples, they are coming back, and they are happy. And they say that they said many things happened in their life when they went to the people. Then Jesus says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. Here Jesus gives them the power. And then in the 20th verse, Jesus says something that is very important. Says that, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in this. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We have to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. So this is the first preamble there, that God has given us the eternal life. This is the first one. The second thing is from the same chapter, 21st to 24th verse. There you see that Jesus is telling, thank you, Lord, for you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them to the babes. So here he tells this verse immediately. You know what happens? Everyone is there, and they come to know. They come to know what he's saying. And when the Pharisees heard it, you know, it was a shock unto them that they came to know that he is talking about them, wise and the prudent. So then, in the 22nd verse, he says that he is the everlasting life. He is the everlasting life. So when the Pharisees heard all this, there was a lawyer, a very shrewd lawyer. And that lawyer immediately stood up. He understood that this is talking about many, 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 many things which is not according to their law. So he immediately stood up and asked, can you kindly tell us about what you had mentioned? What is eternal life? He asked, what is eternal life? And then he asked that you are talking about some people. Those people are the sinners, and basically the sinners. They consider them as sinners. Now, this is the background of the story, that Jesus says that your names are written in heaven, that is the eternal life, and then this is being given to you, not to the wise and prudent, but it is revealed unto the babes. Then third, Jesus mentions the authority is given to him. Now this is the background. Now Jesus in Matthew 9:10-13. Can you read?
Matthew 9:10-13. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yeah. Here what do you see? They ask, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? This is a question that all the Pharisees had, because they consider themselves as righteous. Now in the 12th verse, Jesus is talking about the sickness. He immediately said that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick need the physician. You need the physician? The question very, very difficult to answer. You need a physician? I don't think that all of you need a physician. I just wanted to hear from you. Do you need a physician? We all need the physician. I need the physician. You need the physician, because this physician is what is diagnosing your sickness. Whenever you have the sickness in your heart, immediately he diagnoses. And he is the physician. He immediately cures. So if you don't want him, that is amazing. So you all want, right? Say, I want. Yeah, you want. Okay. I also want. So here in the 13th verse, but go and learn what this means. I desire seeking mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This was a very powerful word that he mentioned, that I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I am not explaining that, it will take time. So this is the background story. Now, in this, when Jesus mentioned this, from Luke 10:25-36, you can read.
Luke 10:25-36. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said to him, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?
Yeah, so we thank God for the word of God. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Father, you speak from whatever you have given me to speak. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Luke 10:25 says that, And behold, a certain lawyer. This lawyer was hearing the whole thing. He knows the story now. Now, he wanted to test him. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? Because he mentioned about eternal life. And that was the lawyer's first question. And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? This is Jesus' second question related to lawyer's first question. Jesus is telling that here, actually, you see one particular word. That's very important. What is written in the law and what is reading of it? What is your reading of it? See the word. That's a little complicated. It is directly stating that what is written in the law and how do you interpret it? This is what Jesus mentioned. You understand or not?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that was the second question, which is actually questioning him. Now he answered, You love, that is in 20:27. Now, here Jesus talked about, the lawyer said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a very correct answer. But he wanted to justify that. You read in the 29th verse that he wanted to justify himself, because then he thought about who is his neighbor. Neighbor, because this person has got neighbors whom are not at all. They are called sinners. And the neighbors that I have is all righteous people. Who is this person talking as neighbor? You understood what? All right, thank you. When you know your face itself, you know, it is a very clear thing, you know, it makes me very happy that you are coming along with me. Okay, so there he wanted to justify, and he said like this. Now, Jesus answered with one parable. And then at the end, he asks a question to him. This is what we read now. Now, in the 30th verse, Luke 30, Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He talks about a certain person. A certain person, he talks that they walked from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is considered to be the holy city where blessings are there, and Jericho is a cursed place. Now, I want to tell you, all this is taking place on this Jerusalem-Jericho road. Now, whatever we are going to speak here, that's all happening in Jerusalem to Jericho road. That has got the impact there, because Jerusalem is a much higher spiritual place, whereas one person going to Jericho means one person going from, you know, if you talk about the Muslim community, our brothers here, from Saudi to Bahrain. Bahrain, they all come to enjoy. Saudi is a very strict country. So the same way, you can consider that this place is a very holy place, and there. Now, all this is happening in this particular place. What happens is, this person is going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves. So the thieves are also hiding to ambush. The thieves are also hiding to ambush those who are coming from Jerusalem. They are not much interested in the people from Jericho. They are interested more on people who are coming from Jerusalem with their good robes, new robes. You know, so you see that, you see that immediately he fell among the thieves, and who stripped him of his clothing. You know, in those days, the most valuable thing is the clothing. The most valuable thing is the clothing. Even Jesus himself had a cloth that was being gifted by someone which was very costly. Someone gifted. So here we see that the first thing that they take is their dresses and whatever they have. You have to understand everything in the spiritual meaning here, because Jesus is interested you to know the spiritual meaning. Spiritual meaning. So here, they strip him of his clothing and wound him, and then they departed, leaving him half dead. So now the situation is, he is half dead. You know, when someone is coming and taking your clothes off and your riches, you will definitely have a struggle with him, right? When you have the struggle, you without fail you will get wounded. Without fail you will get wounded. So the person who was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, we can call him as a backslider. But the backslider, now he is among the thieves. The thief is what? Devil. Devil comes to rob what? Rob the riches of yours. Now, the devil comes, you know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what happened? They lost the glory of God. Their clothing was removed. So, devil is very much interested, the thieves are very much interested in taking the robes out and their riches, so that this person will be almost dead, facing death. So you see that when this person comes from there, he is stripped of his clothes, and then this glory, his clothing is very valuable. I want to stress that point. The glory that he is having, that is from God. That is very, very valuable. It is actually, Paul says that it is a treasure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:7 it says, 2 Corinthians 4:7, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in the hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, you read the whole verse. It is there also. Yes. Okay. It is there. Okay. Right. So, there you see that knowledge of the glory of God which was in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the sixth verse. In the seventh verse, it talks about this treasure is in the earthen vessels. Which is this treasure? Can someone say? Which is this treasure? Huh? What? Okay, I've kept this. That's the reason I'm not hearing. Okay, I'm just keeping it because of the cold temperature. So it is actually the treasure is in sixth verse, glory of God, which was in the face of Jesus Christ. So the glory of God is the one that changes you. The glory of God is precious. When you see Jesus Christ, the glory of God, which is in his face, you see, and the transformation happens. And immediately the transformation happens. It does not need to wait. So you see the glory of God. So about that, Paul is telling this treasure is where? Is in our earthen vessels. Is in you and me. Say hallelujah. This treasure, the glory of God, that glory of God is the reason why you are coming and sitting here now. Otherwise, you cannot come and sit here. So this glory of God is the one thing which the devil looks at. The devil is interested in this glory of God. What does the devil do? The devil will strip off the glory of God. When you lose the glory of God, you can talk anything, you can think anything, you can act anything, you can do many, many things. So the glory of God is important. And it is a treasure. Paul says it's a treasure. And in the seventh verse, this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God. So this treasure, the glory of God is in us, and the excellence of the power is of God. You understood? So the glory of God is so important. Now, he is stripped off his dress. Now, he is wounded and half dead. Half dead means, what do you understand by half dead? He is dead. Only thing there is life. That is what you understand. You understand? Half dead means he is dead. He is not moving. But he is having the life inside. You understood? You have to understand that very clearly. This is for another reason. There are two characters now, the priest and the Levite. Luke 10, 31 says, now, by chance, as a priest came down that road. By chance. Now, you see, that road means, again, you see the same road. Which is the road? Yes, thank you. So, you are all with me in the same page. Thank you very much. So, this priest came down and saw him and he passed by. Why? Why did he pass by? Because he was a person of very hard heart? No. Because this person is almost dead. Now, if he picks this man and if he is dead, now he will lose. Leviticus chapter 21:1 says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. See, when this is the law says that when you deal with the dead person, what happens? You lose your inheritance. Now the priest, what happens? He will lose his in inheritance because he came and checked whether he's only having a breath. Soon he left. You understand? What do you understand by that he's having a breath? He's having a breath means what? Breath means he's alive, but not responding. Now to give him a new life, only God can do it. You understood? Now, this is the understanding. Now, the same way a Levite also came, the same thing. I am not going to. This is the same. Levite also is a worker in the Lord's temple. Now, Jesus asks by this the lawyer, "How do you understand this word? How do you understand this word? Like they came and they looked and they went. How do you understand?" See, Jesus is picking us, because we consider our brothers and sisters as only within this place, or maybe a, but we should have, Jesus says, a neighbor. Now Jesus is going to define who is a neighbor. Okay, so we are now going to look about the priest and the Levite. If the understanding of the word is based on how you understand, means by knowledge, how do you understand instead of how God wants you to understand, that is by faith, then you shall not see the need of the wounded. If your understanding of that verse was not with knowledge, if that understanding was with faith, knowledge means you understand you should not touch that person and you have to go. But when you understand by faith, means this is a person who is like me. He is the neighbor. He is the one who's needy. Now there, Jesus says, your understanding about the law is wrong. You understood? You understood or not? You understood or not? You understood or not? Because it's very, very important. Very, very important that by faith, if you have by faith, if you know God by faith, it is a relationship. It is a relationship. If you know God by knowledge, it is not a relationship. You understood? That is what it means. Can everyone glorify God by saying a hallelujah if you understood this? All right. Thank you. So Paul says in Second Timothy, third chapter 4 and 5, about this particular people. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. Denying the power. You understood that the glory of God is the power that has in you, and that is the treasure. So that particular glory is the power. Now when you don't have that, you will be denying its power. You will be looking at the worst words only. You will be always pleasing man. You will not please God. You will always think what others will think. Definitely you will not be pleasing God. That is what Paul says there. Okay, and now, how can one have compassion on others? Now we are going to the next character, which is the Samaritan. Now, everyone has given the message as Jesus Christ is a Samaritan. You don't see anything in that picture that Jesus Christ is a Samaritan. But you can take for, if it gives you gives you a lot of joy and happiness in God, you can take it. Only one verse, the Samaritan says, I will come back. Come back, and anything I have to pay you, I will pay you. So here, Jesus is portraying Samaritan. When you see that verse, you will see you can think that Jesus is going to come back. So there it reflects Jesus Christ, because he will come and he will give the reward. You understood? So here, the Samaritan, I want you to have a separate understanding. The Samaritan in the beginning. Then finally you can consider as Jesus Christ, because he is going to come back. He is again going to come back, because he has to give us the reward. The reward. Now, the Samaritan is, now he is walking from where to where? Samaria to Jerusalem. You understood? I told you, all this is happening in the same highway. Now, Samaria to Jerusalem. If someone is feeling sleepy, you can just take a walk and come. There is no issue. You can hear also. So, okay. So, a Samaritan, he's walking from Samaria to Jerusalem. This is like he was a sinner, and there was nothing good to be mentioned in him. This Samaritan is considered as a sinner. Correct or not? Yes, he is considered as a sinner. Now, there was nothing to be mentioned in him. Jesus in Luke 15:7 says that I say unto you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So here you see, actually there were 100 just people. One got repented and he became a sinner. You know how? When you meet Jesus Christ, you will be holy? No, you will say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Correct or wrong? This is what it mentions here. So the heaven is enjoying when one sinner who repents than over 99 just people. This just people, they don't want repentance, but this person wants repentance. He is talking. Now, this person who is the Samaritan, Jesus is talking here in this context. Now, in Galatians 2:17, we will see that. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, if you want to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. See, if you want to justify with Christ, mean to say you go and stand and Jesus says your sins are forgiven, what is the thing that should happen in your mind? What? You should feel that I am a sinner, Lord, I am a sinner, I am the sinner in this. There is no one like me. Even this person who is standing beside me is a holy person. I am sinner. This is what it happens when you come across with Jesus Christ. That is the same thing that Paul says, if you seek to be justified by Christ, we are also found sinners. Now, you are found sinners. Now, this Samaritan is a person who is found as a sinner. Now, when you consider him as a sinner, in Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, we were still sinners, Christ died for me. When Christ died for me, I was a holy person or not? I was a sinner. Are you understanding? If you are understanding, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
From the back, there is more sound. Say again, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
From the front side, the sound is very, very low. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So here, yet when we were sinners, Christ died for me. That is the context. You know, we were sinners. And in the 10th verse, for if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. When we were enemies, He reconciled you. So, when we were before in the 8th verse, God demonstrated His love towards us, yet we were sinners. So this person is coming. Who is this person? Who is this person coming walking? Samaritan. Yeah, this Samaritan is walking and coming. Now this Samaritan is justified by Christ like this. He said, I am a sinner. He is a sinner. Now Jesus is talking in this context. Now, when He comes, He sees this person who is lying on the ground. Now, only a person whose sins are forgiven, only they can have compassion. You understood? If your sins are not forgiven by Christ, you cannot forgive another person. Because it is, how do you forgive others? Because God has done that to you. Say hallelujah. Why I am asking you to say hallelujah? These are all very, very basic truths. Unless Jesus, when you say, I forgive you, that is not your character or my character. That is God's character. He did it first to you, and then you are doing it. You understood? That is why the Samaritan sees this person and goes near him. Goes near him. It is not like any other person who is going. He goes close to this person, and he checks whether there is life. And he understands there is life. Immediately, he is having what? He is having oil and wine with him. In the 34th verse, we see that he bandaged the wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Now, this oil and wine, we see especially in Revelation, this is talking about the love of God. If you read, I'll give you one verse. Song of Songs, 4th chapter, 10th verse. Can you read that? Yeah, can you read?
How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love.
Yes.
And the scent of your perfumes than all spices.
Yes. Here you see, how fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love. Your love is much better than your love. And then the scent of all the perfumes, more than that, there is also mentioned oil. I think that version is not right. Okay, you can use the other version, NKJV, and you will see that the oil is also there. Better than wine and oil is mentioned in that. Okay, fine. That is up to you. You can check. So here, there we see that this is love more than wine and the oil. Love is so beautiful. And when you read the same Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 4, it says that he took me to the banqueting hall, and the banner that he kept upon me, there, banner was love. So it is love that is valuable than everything, than all this. So you see that he is pouring oil and wine into your wounds. Now, your wound, that person, you understand that person is lying there and his wounds are not bound with anything. Now, he puts what? Love. He is putting the same love that Jesus has cleansed him with. All the sins that is being cleansed, now that joy and love he is showing unto this person who is half dead. You understand? Only when God does in your life, it happens. Now, when you see Luke chapter 7, you see that lady who comes with the alabaster box. That was actually Mary Mary, I will quote as Mary in John chapter 11, 2 says that it is Mary. So Mary broke that precious alabaster box of oil at his feet. She could not. Why did it throw that? That was the most important, dear thing to her. Very costly. We read from the word that it was very costly. But still she chose to throw it in the feet of Jesus. Why? Why? She did not consider anything because the sin that she was carrying, she was in sinful nature, she was sick. It was like a cancer for her, and she was considered as a wretched person, as a wretched person. She was looked down in the society, and she bore a name. What is the name she bore? She was called the prostitute. So she wanted to lead a good life, but the name that had fallen upon her was permanent. Now, who could take her out from that permanent sickness, from that cancer? It was only Jesus Christ. When she was released by the power of the glory of God, which was in the face of Jesus Christ, my God, that changed her. Now she doesn't consider anything valuable more than the love for him. The love for him. And this love, she did not wait for the Simon, the Pharisee, to say that you come inside. She went inside and she broke it on his leg. She did not look at any other person. She was crying on his feet. You know, as a sinner who is having a contrite heart, he will sit and cry. You know, first time when I read this verse, I wanted to be that lady, because he has taken me all the sins that I had, and he said, you are valuable. You are no more an ass. You might be called as an ass by people, but you are no more an ass. You are a child of God. That confirmation is given to me by God. So she moved out of compassion, and the Samaritan was having the same compassion that he poured the oil that could heal the half-dead person. The half-dead person. So it was the Samaritan that, Samaritan that. So now, yeah. I think that there is a page here, but no, okay. All right. So now we see that love is compared to wine and oil. God does it first before he seeks from you. Love that Samaritan experienced from God was the reason to show love to the person lying on the ground. So the person that the reason that he showed love unto the person lying on the ground was he received it first. The compassion that he experienced from God, he was able to show the compassion to the person. Jesus asked this question to you. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? This is the question that Jesus asked you. Who is your neighbor? Is it that person who is lying on the ground? How you treat him? Whether you treat him, you consider him. How do you consider him? With the same love. We cannot have that love. That love comes from the faith of God. God can give you that compassion. We cannot get it from others. Now, if your sins are forgiven, God is asking you to forgive others' trespasses. Now, if your sins are forgiven, God is asking you to forgive others' trespasses. Who is your neighbor? I know there are so many people who has. That is what words I said, that God changed the message for me in the last 3 days. So in the last 3 days, God changed the whole thing. It was there for 6 months, but it changed. Now, if your sins are forgiven, God is asking you to forgive others' trespasses. Yeah, you are fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive. You are fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive. You have to just think what God has done in your life. At that time, when you were not valued by anyone, at that time, God came and gave you a value. And that value is the value that you hold now. So when you have that, you have to stand for Christ. You know, whatever that we are doing, coming on a Friday and doing something is not enough. That is not what God expects you to do, because God has given one talent in you. I am not talking about 2 or 5. God has invested that one talent in you. You need to use that. Don't invest in the flesh. Don't invest in the ground. Investing in the ground is not standing for Christ. You can do many things, but standing for Christ is very important. Then you will be called righteous by God. Okay. Holy Spirit, the God, will change all things for your good. This is Romans 8:28. Everything the Holy Spirit will. Maybe you are thinking that this is very difficult and it cannot be worked out. It cannot. You don't see a door. But God can make much better than you even think. That is what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 9 says, that your eyes have not seen, your ears are not heard, and what you have not even thought of in your heart, that is what God has kept for you. You know, a very angry person can become a forgiving person. This is what God can do. So he can change all things for your good. When you behave the same quality that God has, in the same quality that God has, you can melt down Himalayas. You can melt down Himalayas, because how much ever wrath that the other person has, it is within you. It is in your hands. So leave everything that comes against you To whom? To God. Can you leave everything that comes against you, not for you, against you? That's quite difficult. Against you. Can you leave it to God? Then God makes everything working for your good alone. Do not take anything into your hand that what God has to do for you. If you take in your hand, you lose the blessing. If you take it in your hand, then you lose the blessing. So it's very important that to know that what you don't like is God's will. So we thank God for what God is. Romans 8:28. Can you just read?
Romans 8:28.
That we know.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
Do you want to be, there is a comma there, who love God. And then it says, to those who are called according to His purpose. You want to be like that? If those who want to be like that, raise your hands and say hallelujah three times. Hallelujah. 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 May God bless you all.
Church, today we've just heard about the topic, those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick need physician. Where do you belong to? Do you recognize yourself as a sinner? Or you think you are free from sin? The glory of God grows in you. Does it live in you? And when it lives in you, you are His treasures. If you just have the knowledge of God, that is not relationship. You need to have faith with God. That is when you establish the relationship. And when you establish the relationship, you will recognize yourself as sinner. And your sin will be forgiven because Christ died for you. And when your sins are forgiven, only then you have the compassion to forgive others. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wound, you have been healed. Brethren, recognize yourself as a sinner, and your sin will be forgiven. Let us be on our feet. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You and bless Your holy name for Your word that we have heard this afternoon. We thank You, Lord, that You make us to know that, yes, we have to accept ourselves as a sinner. We thank You for reminding us that, Lord, it is when we see ourselves as a sinner that we can be forgiven. Lord, we appreciate You, Lord, for Your Son that You have used for us. We thank You for more anointing in His life. Thank You, Lord, that You continue to speak through Him to us. Thank You, Father, that You never leave Him nor forsake Him. Thank You for the wisdom that You have given unto Him to speak to us this afternoon. May Your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. This word has been spoken into our life. Father, let it grow and germinate in our life in Jesus' name. The pride that will make us not to see ourselves as a sinner. Lord, in Your mercy, You will take them away from us in Jesus' name. The spirit that will always make us to realize that, yes, we have sinned before You, Lord. That spirit will continue to live in us and continue to ask for forgiveness of sins in the mighty name of Jesus. Once again, we want to thank you for your son that you have used. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his family, his children, and everyone that connected to him, including the church here. Let your glory continue to shine upon him in Jesus' name. And let your anointing continue to grow in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. That light you have shined into his life shall never go into darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of you that are listening this afternoon, that the glory of God shall never depart from you in Jesus' name. Every word that you have heard today shall be fruitful in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. The Spirit to make use of every single word that you have heard, that Lord will empower you, will endow you in Jesus' name. Once again, Lord, we want to thank you for today's service. And for the rest of this week, all our services are in your hand. Take full control in Jesus' name. And for the rest of the year, all our services are in your hand. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. All our members that are not here, wherever they may be, let your glory be upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, as we depart here, your presence will go with us in the mighty name of Jesus. And once again, we remember what is happening between the Kashmir region, that God Almighty, to your glory, you will take full control in the mighty name of Jesus. Whoever want to escalate it, Lord, you will lock them in your hell in the mighty name of Jesus. Your peace shall reign in that region in Jesus' name. Every leaders from both sides, you will continue to minister to them and talk to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Every decision that will be taken will bring peace to that region in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, we glorify you, Lord. Once again, this region also is in your hand. Take perfect control in Jesus' name. The peace we are enjoying in this land shall never cease in the mighty name of Jesus. As you go, the presence of God is going with you. All your endeavor, whatever be your expectation, the Lord will perfect it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. I do have a wonderful week. Amen.